Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. The technical difficulty of getting this all fastened together. We appreciate everyone in church this morning. God bless you for being here. And I mentioned earlier we are looking for a pastor. And we've contacted the Pentecostal Church of God, and they've pretty much said there's not much. There's slim pickings. I remember when I first started out, there was too many pickings. There were a lot of competition when we were young, and a lot of preachers available. But it's changed now, and I don't know why it's changed, but it's a problem. We need to see more. We need to see more preachers brought up and helping in the work of the Lord. I heard Gabriel Schweigert this morning in his sermon, and he read the text where Jesus said, pray for laborers for the harvest. I thought, you know what? That is a really big need. We need laborers for the harvest. When you look out at the world, there's a lot of sinners out there. There's a lot of folks that they went to the terminology of the unchurched so they wouldn't make anybody feel bad. When I was young, they didn't care how bad you felt. They wanted you saved. And it seemed to work. I got saved almost every time I went to church. I didn't want to miss anything. I didn't want to miss out. I wanted everything. And boy, I'd get hit to the altar. I remember at youth camps, we used to have kids that got saved every year. Some of them, it probably lasted a week or two. Some of them a little bit longer, right? And I'm thankful for everybody that's ever prayed for me to keep me saved. And the Lord has blessed. I was going to read the definition of influence. And it's the power to produce effects on others by intangible or indirect means. A person or thing that exerts influence, the power to persuade or obtain advantages resulting from one's status, wealth, etc. To exercise influence, to move or to impede a person to some action. The next word is influenza. You see a connection between these two, and influenza is an acute, contagious viral disease characterized by respiratory symptoms, fever, muscle aches, etc. The reason I'm reading that is because what I want to speak about today is a control in our lives. When you get the flu, you lose control. How many knows what I'm saying? You're pretty much under the spell of that sickness. But and then when you get better, isn't it great to be done with that? It's wonderful. I want to, and I hope I can make the tie to what I read to you. I want to minister this morning about how to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I think that we realize the value of the Holy Ghost in our church. We're Pentecostal. We ought to. Pentecostal churches that don't realize the value of the Holy Spirit, I really worry about them. And I think they have a worse case or a worse disease than the flu. But how do we stay full? We know what being filled with the Spirit is. We believe our doctrine, and hopefully it's in our hearts, that when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we speak in another language. But is it just that one time and then it's over? Not according to the Scripture. Not according to what Paul spoke to us in the book of Ephesians. But I want to start. Now, my text was Ephesians chapter 5, but it got bounced to the secondary position after I was looking at the book of John chapter 7. And I want to make 2 points today I want to accomplish two things. One is to paint you a picture of what Jesus experienced in John 7, 37 through 39. And I want to share with you the scripture in Ephesians 5 and just allow us to understand that this spiritual relationship that we have with God is not getting filled and done, but rather getting continuously filled and flowing in the gifts and the ministry and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So I really want to impact today that the Holy Ghost is a big deal. The Holy Ghost is a big deal. When everyone was trying to calm down the word Pentecostal and go charismatic and all of that back in the 70s, it really irritated me. And I remember one of our youth leaders who is now actually a district official in Southern California as a superintendent or a bishop. And I remember him preaching a sermon. I'm sick and tired of the people saying the Holy Spirit. I want to say the Holy Ghost. And to me, it doesn't matter whether you say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. It's pretty much the same, right? But at the same time, we need the influence. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. I heard a quote that was attributed to Brother Hurd. Brother Hurd was a general superintendent of the Pentecost Church of God when I was a young guy. He is the preacher that preached the ordination service when I was ordained in 1974. And Brother Hurd was a wonderful mind he quoted scripture for half an hour, just quoted the scripture. I was in awe. And he did a great sermon, and then Brother Parkinson, our district superintendent, prayed the prayer of ordination over me because our presbyter was Brother King, but Brother King had prayed over Brother Balch, and so I was a leftover. And Brother Parkinson stepped in and prayed that prayer, and I'm thankful for the heritage that we have. But it was said that Brother Hurd, going way back to where we started, they asked him, do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture? And he said, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go across the street to the grocery store. And I like that. I like that. You know, people want to make doctrines out of almost anything and everything. But listen, the Holy Ghost is a big deal. And that's why I'm bringing it to you. This is the first Sunday of the year. And I think that we need to understand, starting now, the Holy Ghost is a big deal in your life and in everything that you do. John 7, 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I love that expression. Now the King James Version, this is New King James I'm reading, the King James Version says, out of his belly and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. That's a future promise. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In the Amplified Bible, it says, now on the last and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and called out in a loud voice. I like the idea of Jesus cried. We're all familiar with Jesus wept, the shortest scripture, right? Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem because it was because of the spiritual condition of Jerusalem. You can speak, almost cry over Jerusalem anytime you want to for that. But here he cried out in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty this morning? Aren't you glad for bottled water? Years ago, we had to get up and go out. Now we just grab our bottle and drink, and I think that's wonderful. My mother-in-law, Autry Wilbanks, used to say it's unfair. While the preacher's got that glass of water up there, and if we get thirsty, we have to go out. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is taking care of that through these water bottles. You don't have to get up. But if you're thirsty, if we talk about it long enough, I'm getting thirsty. If you're thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow, listen, continually rivers of living water. But he was speaking of the Holy Ghost, whom those who believed in him as Savior were to receive afterward. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised to honor. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'll help us with this message today, that we will get across these points that you've laid on our hearts. Lord, that the Holy Spirit is important to you, and he is important to us as well. And we want, Lord, to not only be filled way back, but full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch us today, open our hearts, and let us have, oh, that river, that flowing, Lord, that volume of the Spirit in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. When I was filled with the Holy Ghost in 1962, I was 10 years old. We had been praying. It was a thing to get the Holy Ghost. It was a status in our church. We had a whole bunch of teenagers, and everybody was getting the Holy Ghost, and I felt kind of left out. I didn't want to be left out. So I would pray. We stayed after church half an hour to an hour praying for the baptism. And I was on the platform in Alameda at our old theater building. I was standing right about here, maybe a little bit further back. And a lady came over and said, the Lord told me if you'll raise your hand, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And I went from here to here, and boom, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I began speaking in tongues without any kind of, you know, trying or anything else. The Spirit of God just came in my life. Now, one thing that we can't do is say that that's the way, because of my experience, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of you that's filled with the Holy Ghost may have been different than that. But the impact upon our lives is the same, right? We all have that impact and that help. I want to tell you a story. To me, this is one of the most important stories I've ever told. Jesus was in the temple the last day of this Feast of Tabernacles. They had taken a golden vessel, and they had taken water from the Pool of Siloam, and they had mixed wine in with it, and the priest came in, and he circled the brazen altar 7 times. The brazen altar was 30 feet. I wish I had one today. We have the Ark of the Covenant, but we don't have the brazen altar. 30 feet, that's probably pretty much the width of this church, by 30 feet, which is almost the same, 30 feet by 30 feet and 15 feet high. And so the priest's going around and around and around. And then 15 feet is high. You can't just reach it 15 feet if you're a normal person. So there is an earthen ramp. When I was looking at that, I thought of our ramp right out here. Bob had that done a few years ago. I wish he had had it done when we had several people that needed to come up those 2-3 steps in a wheelchair, and we would pull them up, and a lot of precious people had to work hard, had to trust us to pull them up that 2 or 3 steps. If we'd have had the ramp, it would have been easier. So now we have the ramp, and we can get in and out of this church very, very easy. And the ramp that the priest walked up made it very easy for them to get up high enough. and to take that vessel and to begin to pour it out upon the sacrifice for Israel. And while all of this was going on, the people were singing. And they were singing, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." This was the great Hosanna song. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And when that last note was sung and held out and stopped, they begin to pour this vessel of water and wine out over the sacrifice and the burning coals. And it was at that point Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And they can have all that they want. They can be filled and full and running over." You know, we live in a world that's just absolutely has too little and that's too limited. I don't know if anyone won the big lottery thing last night, but they said if you won both of them, you'd be a billionaire. And I'm thinking, no, the taxes would take care of most of that. But you stood more of a chance of getting struck with lightning three times in a row in 2 seconds than to win all of that. We live in a world to where things are hard to come by, but God said, Jesus said, "Come unto me and I'll give you all that you need or that you want." Jesus cried this out. "He who believes, out of his innermost being shall flow continually rivers," not a trickle, not a little dab, but rivers of living water, speaking of the Holy Spirit. I can imagine that this place was full of the Holy Ghost and that there was such, like we felt this morning, there was such a power of God. The Holy Spirit moving, and no doubt many, well, it actually caused quite a stir of people saying who he was, and yeah, but the Messiah is not coming from Galilee and so forth. But I want you to understand that the brazen altar was representative of Calvary, where Jesus would go in just a bit and lay his life down for you and I. The sacrifice was Jesus. He was the only sacrifice. The sacrifice of the animals covered sin for a while. But when Jesus gave his blood on the cross, it wipes away our sin forever. The fire is the judgment for sin that only Jesus' blood would satisfy. And the water and the wine is a type of the Holy Spirit that would come into lives only after they've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what is the requirement to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is to be saved. You can be saved and in the next instant be filled with the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen that way with me. There was 2 years difference. The Lord called me down to the altar of repentance at 8 years old, and then at 10 I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that we had kids in our church that were filled with the Holy Ghost at 3 years old. And I thought, that's right. Everything should be about the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And, of course, you have to recognize the cleansing blood of Jesus and all that was done on the cross. It's all so very important. But I want you to know today, folks, that the Holy Spirit is a big deal. I want us to look at the book of Ephesians chapter 5. When I was a young preacher, I quoted often Ephesians 5, 22. "Wives, submit yourselves therefore unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." That was a dumb thing to do because it irritated Debbie so to the point. Now she's about ready to get that verse stricken from the Word of God. I'm gonna speak to you this morning something that is more astounding than that about the Holy Ghost. And the scripture says in Ephesians 5 and 18 through 21, I'll read it in the New King James and then the Amplified. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Did you get all of that? Did you get all of that singing? I love the preaching of the word. I think that's so wonderful that God's given us that blessing to be preached to. And I've heard some of the greatest preachers on the face of the earth. M.F. Corin, that used to pastor this church years ago, I heard I forgot the name of that little town in Texas. Can't get it. It was their new headquarters, but it was just south of Austin, and I can't remember the name of it. But I heard Brother Corin and J.O. Throckmorton doing the Bible conference, and both of those guys were pastors of this church, and they preached marvelous message when they were, 70, 80 some years old, and wonderful preaching. And Brother J.O. Throckmorton's brother Gene was our district presbyter and our secretary treasurer, one of that, and that wonderful, wonderful man of God. I heard him preach as well. What we had such a wonderful past of preachers that really filled the room with wonderful preaching and stirring of the Word of God. Thank God for preaching. Don't dismiss singing. Don't think that there's not some value to singing. Don't think that it's something frivolous or something that's just a lead up to the preaching. Because I believe it with all of my heart that the praise that comes from singing has a power of regeneration and power of touching our souls and opening us to a river of the flow and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Because it says, I'm not going to say too much about don't get drunk. We don't participate with that. Our church bylaws, we don't drink. We just leave it alone because of all of the ill that has come from that. But when I think any one of us, I've never really taken a drink in my life except for one communion cup in a church when they were doing a Passover Seder. And the guy that I was with said, "Don't embarrass me. Don't you dare tell him no to that." He said, "It's watered down wine. It won't hurt you." So I drank that just so he wouldn't be embarrassed with me. But when you drink, if you drink enough, I don't know how much it would take for any one of us, but if you drink enough, you get drunk, what happens? You're under the influence, and if you get on the road while you're under the influence, they'll give you a big old ticket. I've got more speeding tickets, and every time I got speeding tickets, I went to school, most everybody was there because of DUI. And I heard all kinds of stories about why and what and all of that, but it's a big deal. And you can do serious damage driving under the influence. But the scripture says, don't get drunk, but be influenced by the Holy Spirit. In other words, have enough Holy Spirit to control you to where it's not you, but it's the Spirit doing all that is going on. So singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Now here's another thing, giving thanks to the Lord for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one I would have left out if I could, because it's hard. To me, the others are so easy. One and two is so easy, but it says submitting to one another in the fear of God. And the thing that I quoted years ago about wives submitting yourselves unto your husbands, that's not even the beginning of it. We are, as Christians, to submit to one another, to be subject to one another, to be responsible to one another, to love one another. The scripture's clear. Love one another. Love your brother as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's hard, but that's very helpful in keeping the Holy Spirit flow going in our lives. Ephesians 5:18, Amplified Bible. I'm reading this because of one or two words. Do not get drunk with wine, for it is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. I think they had me at stupidity. I thought, well, that's reasonable. Okay. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly guided by Him, under the influence, under the control of the Holy Spirit. Be filled, constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being subject to one another out of the reverence for Christ. I think it's real simple. If you want to stay full of the Holy Spirit, keep a song in your heart. Keep your praise directed toward the one who deserves all praise and who is worthy. Thou art worthy, the Revelation says. Thou art worthy to receive the glory and the honor. Why? Because you have laid your life down on Calvary. The Spirit could not come until the blood was applied in heaven. And once that happened, Jesus' ministry was go get filled. Don't go preach. Don't go do anything. Don't go on a healing campaign. Don't do anything until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, go into all of the world and preach the gospel and teach people of Jesus Christ. Teach them of the Lord. So the blood bought us the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. The resurrection is also a power. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I to quicken our mortal bodies. So the verse actually says, be constantly filled with the Spirit. Or be constantly, moment by moment, being controlled by the Spirit. The word filled in Greek is, as close as I can come, Piero. P-I-E-R-O-O. Piero. It means to be covered over, complete, accomplished, to influence, satisfy, execute, to supply, to complete or be complete or controlled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's not just for Pentecostals. It's for all the church. Because Jesus said, you're nothing until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make it without being filled. So what do we have to do? We need to sing whatever song the Lord's put in your heart. Make sure it's the Lord that's put it in your heart. I've joked for years about singing Rockahoola Baby. Not in the church. If I come up with some words to the tune, though, you bet. Sing a new song, what the Lord has put in your heart. You say, well, I'm not a singer. I don't care. I used to be a halfway singer. Now I'm a no-way singer. But I don't care. I used to have a guy, a painter on the job in Texas, and he said, sing, preacher, sing. I'd sing. It might have been maybe an annoyance to some, but to me it was a song, right? Two is thanksgiving to God for everything. Thanksgiving to God for everything. And then submit to one another. I was mentioning the ramp a while ago, and I was thinking of Brother Dwayne Harris that we used to help up the ramp, help up the stairs. If we'd have had the ramp, we'd have been in great shape. And when I started thinking of Brother Harris, I started thinking, and he's gone on to be with the Lord, but there are so many of our folks in Calvary Temple. There's not many of us here today, but we have a big presence in heaven. Calvary Temple has people who have come through here. Some have been saved here. And then I thought of the ones that Brother Kincaid always shares with us, doesn't he? He said, you have a part of my ministry. 300 churches in Mexico. I forgot the number he said. Was it 50,000 or more? It was a lot of people that he's influenced. Why? Because he had the influence of Calvary Temple, and we've helped a little bit to see his ministry go. Calvary Temple, right now we don't have that many, but we have had a great influence over many souls. You look on Facebook, and half the people that I know on Facebook are from Calvary Temple. I don't know if all of them are doing exactly the way they should these days, but we can pray for them. Aren't you glad you can see what they're thinking on Facebook and pray for them? The scripture in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, if you've got a quick reference to find that, you'll say, well, why'd you leave out the rest of those names? You look at those names and you'll see why I left them out. And the verse says, the first part of it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. They were picking deacons, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And then I dropped it after that, because those other guys I would struggle with, and you'd scratch your head and say, I don't know, I don't think he's saying those right. But these two I got right, Stephen and Philip. And the requirement was to be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. How many is willing to make, it'd be great to lose 20 pounds. It'd be great to lose 20 years and go back. 45, I would be excited about that. 46 coming up. I'd love to do that. I think I'd be ready for it. I don't know if I was ready for it 20 years ago, but I would be ready for it today. It'd be nice to learn something that I've never done before that would make me an instant millionaire. Probably not going to happen. But here's something that can happen, is that we can live 2018 full of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has given the invitation, come. Come to me if you're thirsty and drink. And I'll give you I'll give you everything you need to drink. And there will be within you waters flowing. Not only are you going to drink of the Lord, but you're going to be a supply of the Spirit to other people and a blessing. Someone put a song by the Judds, Grandpa, Tell Me About the Good Old Days. And I thought, that was nice. It's nice being a grandpa. And it's nice being able to influence. What I want for my grandchildren is the same thing I want for my children, the same thing I want for everybody, that they be full of the Holy Spirit. If someone has a different opinion, I don't care. And I don't want to hear it, to be quite honest with you. You have your opinion. I have never gone to another church and tried to persuade them to be Pentecostal. Never. We had one kid that went to the Jehovah's Witness convention and tried to witness there. He didn't do well. They didn't want to hear it, right? I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Word, what the Word says about Jesus is to be true, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, because when I was 10 years old, I was amazingly and wonderfully filled with the Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues. When my hands were by my side, I was just praising the Lord. We used to come on the platform as a choir to help sing, right? That was the thing we did. You'd have half the people here and half the people here. I don't know why we did that. We just did it. But I was up there, and then when I raised my hands, I began to speak in that language, and after that, it was almost kind of a lapse. Just a wonderful presence and power of God. We felt that same spirit today. And Donnie and Audrey, thank you for helping us so much with the worship. And breathe upon me, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord. Now, I've gone a little past what we normally do, but we got a 5-minute later start. And so we're just only going to apologize for 5 minutes. But I don't know how we're going to handle this part. Donnie, are you going to play music? Because we normally do something like that. I'll tell you what, we don't need the music. We are the music. Everyone that can stand, and let's just join around the front, and let's just pray together that we be full of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that if you've not received the Holy Spirit, that you will. This year is your year. We can't go back to last year. We don't do retroactive necessarily, but we can pray that this year that we be filled. Amen? Praise God. And I'm not touching anybody. Matter of fact, I'll stand back a little bit. I don't have to be that close. But let's just join our hearts. Let's look to the Lord. He is the one that baptizes with the Spirit. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, and we're thirsty. We're thirsty, Lord, for your Spirit. And we pray that you'll just fill our hearts and our lives with your presence and your power. Lord, we need you in everything that we do. We need the Spirit that you died to get to us. And you rose again so that we would have the same Spirit that was part of your resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that you'll minister today to every one of us. Lord, let the Spirit not only be free, but let the Spirit flow in our lives and in our beings today. Lord, we yield ourselves. We surrender all to Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit just move within us. Lord, that we'll be used by your Spirit in the gifts and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in the church and in the world today. Lord, that the fruits of the Spirit will manifest every day. Lord, that we sing the song that you put in our heart of liberty and freedom in you. And Lord, that we're thankful every day for everything and all of your provision and all of your strength and all of your blessing. And Lord, as we come together in unity, as on the day of Pentecost, in one mind and in one accord, I pray, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit just come through like a mighty rushing wind. Set upon each one, filling our hearts as we surrender to you, Lord, with the utterance in an unknown tongue. I pray, Lord, that you'll move and manifest yourself in us today. Holy God, we give you glory. Holy God, we give you glory. Holy God, we give you glory. Jesus, we honor your name. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ora mama kanda liridio sidiatai. I surrender all, I surrender all. I surrender all, I surrender all. By your Spirit, Jesus. By your Spirit, Jesus. By your Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shanduru koriandalerediasi. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Koromo koriandalerediosikiriandalerediai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. All to thee. Shorokor oriamandaledidiai. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that when the blood fell and when the blood was shed, that it opened a door for you and I to have the very presence of God, the third person of the Godhead, live within us all the time, and only the blood of Jesus could have put us in position to receive that presence of the Lord. I want to sow a seed for next week, and I want to say, if it's the will of the Lord, because, boy, things change. Acts 13 and 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And as they ministered to the Lord is as they served or praised, worshiped the Lord, then the Lord spoke. So when we're singing and when we're worshiping, we need to be listening, because the Lord can give us a direction that is absolutely wonderful. Amen. Praise God. I want to say this one more time. I appreciate everyone that's here. I appreciate Donnie and Audrey for helping us with the music, because we didn't know what we were going to do. And without them, we wouldn't have had this wonderful worship service that we had this morning. And I really appreciated all the songs that were sung in the ministry, the Be Still that connected with Bob's testimony, and the Holy Spirit breathe upon me. How many's felt the Holy Spirit breathe upon you today? So truly we've been ministered to. Our worship leaders, Audrey and Sherry, both hear from God, and they lead us in worship that I believe is straight from the throne of God. I've tried, as kind of the fill-in guy, I've never tried to tell anyone what to sing, because I feel like the Lord orchestrates that. And their ministry is their ministry. And every one of us have a different ministry. We do something, right, for the Lord, and it's important to pray for each other. We really need to pray for each other. And let's pray for laborers. We need laborers. Pentecostal Church of God needs laborers. I didn't realize. I knew kind of where we were at, but I didn't realize they were in somewhat the same boat. But we need young people beginning the effort to prepare for the ministry, because this is a great work to carry on. We've had great past, and we want a future that's even greater. Amen? Let's just pray blessing. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. Put your hand of protection upon everybody. Minister to them. Minister, Lord Jesus, your protection and your power. I pray that you'll protect from sickness. I pray that you'll protect from all the dangers of this world, and bring strength in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Oh, my. Wow. Let's pray for Bob before, because I've experienced it through Debbie, it is awful to be one moment doing everything you want to do, and then your life is interrupted. Lord, we pray that you'll touch Bob, that you'll give him a miracle of your healing power. And Lord, for all those who are under this influence, I pray that you'll bring liberty. And Lord, in the place of it, bless with the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, the power of your blood, and by your stripes we were healed. And we accept that healing and we believe in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we will forever lift up your name in praise and thanksgiving for the healing power that you put within us and the blessing and the strength. We honor your name today. Amen. The Holy Ghost is working in us, right? And we ought, thank you, Audrey. That's a great opportunity to praise Him. Amen. Thank God. We may be a small congregation, but we still have the power of the Spirit. And with that, we don't know what God is going to do. Remember on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added. We don't have room for 3,000. We could take another 50 or 80, right? Praise God. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll see everybody back Wednesday night at 7:30, the Lord willing.